The Seattle International Film Festival is in full swing right now. It's a chance for you to take in movies from around the world, but it's also a showcase for local filmmakers like Sean Telford. His first feature film, BFE, screens tonight as part of SIFF. It's a coming-of-age story with a twist. Sean Telford and BFE star Wally Dalton came by KUOW Studios, and I was curious what the film's title BFE actually means. I asked Sean.
It's actually a very old term, and I would take it that you're not from BFE, because everyone who is from BFE knows what BFE stands for. It means far away place, somewhere middle of nowhere, end of the line. And in the old days, the gangsters used to take it all the way out to BFE, get off the train, and go hide out in the woods. So, hey, where's Johnny? Oh, he's out in BFE. You know?
I see. And so, essentially, this is a film that takes place in BFE.
Yeah, yeah. But BFE is like 95% of America. BFE is America between the East Coast and the West Coast. You know, people look at the film BFE and go, was that in Missouri? Where was that? Well, it's Idaho, but...
Same thing.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Same people.
Well, in fact, you shot this, Sean, in the place where you grew up, right?
That's correct. In fact, Grandpa's house is my house. That's the house I grew up in. When they go to town, that's my bus route. When they're high and the car's going to town, I took that to school every day.
Well, let's take a step back. This is essentially sort of three intertwined stories. Can you give a succinct plot synopsis for listeners?
Well, I like to say it's pulp fiction set in Post Falls, and you know, Post Falls being the town that I came from. And it's kind of about everybody's struggle to be free or die trying, you know?
Free of the town.
Because free of the town and free interpersonally and free in the... Buddha says life is suffering, you know, that everybody suffers. And in my film, that everyone's suffering, and they're trying to find an end to that suffering or a way to alleviate the suffering. And so the film is about their struggles, you know?
Most of these struggling people are in their teens. Wally Dalton, your character is not quite in his teens anymore.
Just missed it.
Grandpa.
Just missed it.
Talk a little bit about this guy.
Grandpa is a interesting character. He is a strong man, and yet he's beset with an injury that he really doesn't want to face. And he knows he's in trouble, and he wants to end it. And he really doesn't have the guts to end it himself, so he gets his grandson to maybe end it for him. And then, of course, when drugs are brought into the picture, he knows nothing about drugs, but he goes, maybe drugs will help. So he's still adventuresome, but he's a strange mixture of an optimist and a pessimist rolled in, which is a real interesting character.
And he loves his grandson.
Loves him to death, but wants to control him. And at the end, we just see his pure love for him, which is real interesting. And it could be, as Sean said, it could be Idaho, it could be Michigan, it could be Kentucky. It doesn't matter. Everyone in America, every kid in America who sees this will say, that's my town.
Sean, this film, I understand, started with one of the three stories.
That's right. I was in a yoga class and we were holding a very difficult pose. I was holding it for a while, you know, and you get the monkey chatter going there, your legs are burning. And I sent my mind elsewhere to comfort myself. And it came back with the genesis of the Last Virgin story. So there's three stories in there. There's the Last Virgin, there's Grandpa, and then there's Ellie. And in that Last Virgin story, it was just something that was very un-yoga. Like, I don't know where it went to find that idea, but it's very un-yoga, and it came back, and those characters just wouldn't stop talking to me, and that situation was very fascinating to me, and shortly thereafter, I had a whole script written.
No, essentially, the Last Virgin is a high school age-ish boy who feels he's the last virgin probably in the world, and mm-hmm. he decides that he's going to sleep with his best friend's mother, and so he drugs her.
Yeah, he's kind of misinterpreting, I think, her just being nice to him, which I think is easy for men to do, you know, to look at kindness as an advance or flirting. We're so confused. Men are so confused, and especially when you're 16 years old, 17 years old, your hormones are raging, all of your buddies are talking about sex and how wonderful it is, and you just have got to try it. You've got to get your hand in that honeypot come hell or high water. And so, you know, he does, and I don't think he makes the best decision. It's really a story to me about becoming a man, because in that small town where I come from, we have lost track of, well, the whole country, the world, since the Industrial Revolution, when fathers left the fields and went to work in the factories, young men don't have a path to manhood anymore. We don't have any traditions that bring them into that. The military is one where a lot of my friends became men by going and serving time in the armed services. And so I didn't want to do that. I don't like guns. I don't like violence. So the only other way to become a man is to engage in a lot of sexual activity with women, you know, and that's just not a very good way to become a man either. So how do we become men? That's really what that is about. And I think that he becomes a man in that part of the story by either there or at the end of the film when he comes clean and comes to task for what he's done. When the police are there and he says, don't worry, they want to talk to me. And he goes to them and talks to them. And that's a manly thing to do, to own up for your crimes and for yourself.
I'm talking with Sean Telford, whose new film, first feature film, is called BFE, because The Last Virgin was a short film.
That's
that
correct.
You've expanded. Sean, you mentioned you've shot this outside your house, in your hometown. How much of it is autobiographical?
Absolutely none of it.
Really none of it?
None of it. You know,
that's probably a good thing to know.
Yeah, it's informed by the people that I grew up around. Like I know old men like Wally, or Wally's character, Grandpa, in the movie. I know that kind of relationship with that wizened, curmudgeonly fella, you know, and those guys certainly exist. And a lot of people see the film and they tell me, I know that guy.
Mm.
So it's certainly informed by my experiences and those mountains I grew up in, but it isn't in no way anything that happened to me or anyone that I know.
You came to Seattle to study, I think, at professional actors training.
Yeah, well, actually, I hitchhiked here.
I was walking here.
The earth for a while for a couple of years, and I ended up here.
And you're an actor. And
yeah.
What, besides that yoga pose, pushed you into filmmaking?
My phone wasn't ringing. Nobody was calling me to be in their plays or in their movies, you know. And so I'm sitting around wondering, what am I going to do? I've got to be an actor. I don't really want to go live in L.A. Seems like a terrible place. Everybody that I know that goes down there just hates it. You know, some people do all right, but it crushes you. New York, you ever been to New York? That is a hustle town, man. I don't know how you hustle like that all the time. Seattle, you know, I had a mentor many years ago. He said, go to a town, pick a town to live in, because somebody had said, where should we live, New York or L.A., which is better? And he said, you know, it doesn't matter. Go to a place where you want to live, because you're going to be an actor. You're going to be out of work. And where do you want to be out of work? In a terrible place or a place that you enjoy?
Well, I have to ask then, Wally, you came here from L.A., a career in acting in L.A. Uh-huh. Is it as pitiful as Sean says?
It's pretty bad. L.A., more than New York, L.A. is for the young, the rich, and the pretty. And if you're none of those three, get out. Unless you're really successful and you have a great, a bio or a great resume. But after a while, it's just, as a writer, I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, if you're over 40 years old, they just won't hire you. And I wrote on Barney Miller and Laverne and Shirley, so I had good, solid credits. But they just, but he's right. They, you know, live in a place that has a great core, and Seattle has a great core. Seattle's a good town to live in.
What's it like to be a filmmaker in Seattle, first-time feature filmmaker?
It's a great town to be creative. There's no shortage of creative types here. And so I have friends that are designers, web designers, graphic designers, filmmakers, sound recordists. I have friends in all of those areas. And when you're making your first feature, you got to call in every favor you've ever done. Anybody that owes you and asks if they can do something like those graphics in BFE or high class, that's high end stuff. That's a professional did those, you know, and I couldn't have done that on my own, but I have so many talented friends that came together. So I never would have been able to make this film had I not lived here and had such connections to wonderful people.
If you go to Sean's website, you see that he calls him, I don't think you use jack of all trades, but you certainly define yourself by every single thing that you do. Is this filmmaking something that maybe has hit your fancy more than those other things that you've...
Marcy, liked? I was asked to do a fly film. Seattle International Film Festival asked me to do a fly film in 2009, and we shot an existential horror film on the monorail called Safe Passage. And the very first night that we filmed, there's two monorails, and the one that was parked underneath the housing, we shot on that one. It was the very first night. It was snowing. It was cold. We were short-staffed. How are we going to get this done? And yet, I felt as if my life made perfect sense. Everything I've known, everything I'm good at, everything that has happened to me, the way I think, the way I am, all made perfect sense. All roads led to that place. And I felt like, I don't know if it was an epiphany, but it was a moment of aha. I almost felt like if there was a movie of that, I would say, in this scene, there will be, oh, angels, you know, and
okay, so
light around the guy.
Epiphany.
I had an epiphany. And the only other time I've had that kind of clarity in my life is when I was making my second film, a short film also. So I would listen, I would love to do something else because this is a terrible business to be in. It's fraught with peril and heartache and hardship. And every turn you make, someone saying, no, why are you doing this? This is crazy. Have you lost your mind? You know, and yet I'm still doing it. I wish I could do something else. There is unfortunately nothing else that I am good at. The other part of Jack of All Trades is Master of None.
Sean Telford, writer and director of BFE, Wally Dalton, one of the film stars. The movie screens tonight and tomorrow at the Harvard Exit Theater, part of the Seattle International Film Festival.